Blog Talk
Bring it
Radio.
Up, bring it up. What's happening?
You know, you never know what's gonna. I don't think you never know what's gonna pop up. I think I'm gonna go with this one. Oh yeah, let's get this party started. Oh yeah, here we go.
Oh, y'all like that beat, huh, America? Y'all like that beat?
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now. It's a franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me, my time is now.
In case you forgot. What time is now? In case you forgot, now you know. Of course, it is that time of the week, Tuesday. Of course, February the 25th, and you are officially talking sports with the 12th man. I am Andre Peterson, joined by my co-host, Mr. Robert Ford. And as always, tuning in, let's go ahead and get this party started. I always got to check in with my co-host, Mr. Rob Ford. How are you doing this evening, sir?
Man, doing great, man. Overdue, ready to get this show going, Doc. We got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, Rob's been a little crazy, so I'm glad that you've been able to jump back in. And you know how we do. We always got to throw out the numbers for our listeners. America, if you want to call in, share your thoughts, feedback, all that good jazz. We have a couple numbers, or one number, excuse me, to basically reach out to us. You want to call into the show live. The number to call into the show is 424-243-9519. That's 424-243-9519. We're also available in the social media world if you want to follow us. Via Twitter, just go to the number 12, THMAN Sports. That's our Twitter handle. And finally, Rob, we're also on Facebook. If you want to follow us, go to facebook.com/12thmansports, or if you put in Talking Sports from 12 Man, you will be able to find us as well. Woo! What a couple of days. But, man, I'm excited, Rob. We got to jump into some talk, some NBA talk. We got to jump into some NFL Combine talk. A lot of things going on. So without further ado, sir, I think I'm going to go ahead and get this party started. You ready for that?
Man, let's get it rolling, Doc. Let's get it rolling.
Real quick, let's talk about it. Let's talk about some NBA. I know we're going to say the best for last year. If you didn't know what's going on, Kendrick Perkins is out with OKC. And it seems like, Rob, they've been kind of dealing with a couple of bad luck here, losing Russell Westbrook and then also losing Kendrick Perkins. Looks like he's out for 6 weeks with a groin injury. Do you think he's pretty crucial to their success, Rob?
Actually, obviously you want to have as many healthy bodies as possible, and it looks like Perkins will be back for the playoffs. But when you look at this OKC team, how well they thrive without Russell Westbrook, I think they'll be able to do the same thing without Kendrick Perkins. And I was really surprised at how well they played without Russell Westbrook, because last year in the playoffs they kind of folded without him, and typically in the playoffs your weaknesses are exposed more than they are in the regular season, but they have thrived without him. Obviously, in the playoff time you still need multiple superstars in order to win come playoff time, but I think they'll be able to get by with without Kendrick Perkins in the regular season. But I think come playoff time, he's another big body that you're going to need for fouls and things of that nature. So I think he will be important to have come playoff time. But I think they'll be okay getting by without him in the regular season.
Yeah, you know, the whole mantra is next man up. You know, that's why you have depth. You know, you want to have people step up. And I think the first time that Russell Westbrook got hurt, Rob, I think that kind of shocked the OKC because I didn't expect that. And I think that first season, you know, they kind of went to a little tailspin. This year, they kind of had a contingency plan. They're like, all right, if this happens, you know, we have to kind of have some backup plans or vice versa. Now, obviously, if something happens to Kevin Durant, you're pretty much that's going to be a tough scenario. But they were able to kind of adjust just in case this sort of happened. So, like you said, that's probably why you're surprised they're playing so well. They probably have some plans just in case this guy doesn't, you know, this guy gets hurt the next man up. Going to come in and they're able to kind of adjust on the fly too. So that's my thought process with that particular thing as well.
And I tell you another thing about this OKC team, Serge Ibaka is having an incredible year. Probably should have been on the All-Star team for the Western Conference. He really stepped up when Russell Westbrook went down. And so having him as that big body defensively, he rebounds, he blocks shots, plays solid defense, and his scoring has really improved tremendously this year. So he has been a big asset, and he's really stepped up his game for OKC to really be a strong contender.
Yeah, and that's something too you got to work on. So probably, you know, maybe Scott Brooks told him, hey, probably challenge him to say, hey, just work on your offensive game because, you know, there's an opportunity here. So, you know, he obviously had the other aspects, you know, being a young player, having the defense, adding the rebounds, robbing block shots. But now if you can add a scoring threat, that's going to help the team to be a better team too. So I think that's a great, great point as well.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Let's move on. The Kings are aggressively working to buy out Jimmer Fredette's contract. I can't say that we're totally surprised, but, you know, here was a player that was really, really explosive as a college player. Didn't quite make it, or it's not seeming to make it in the NBA. Do you think he's going to find another team, Rob? Is there an opportunity here? I mean he's pretty good scorer, but, I mean, just doesn't seem like he's able to make it in the NBA right now, sir.
Well, you're talking about a guy who averaged like 32 points a game his senior year at BYU, which is lighting it up, can shoot the ball from anywhere on the court. And, you know, my personal pre-draft evaluations of him was that he can be a role player coming off the bench. I didn't think he was worthy of a top 10 pick that he was. And I thought he would have some deficiencies in the athletic department, which he does. And but I thought he could be a decent contributor off the bench. He's, you know, hasn't really been that either. I think through his career, he's only averaging about 5 points a game. And so obviously he has been a total bust in the NBA. Like I said, I thought he probably would have been a little bit better. And I just don't see him as an NBA player at this point. So I would be totally surprised if another team really gives him a really strong chance.
Yeah, just tough scenario for Jimmer. I mean, like you said, you know, you assume that he was going to make a big impact, but you figure, like you said, he was going to be a role player, something like that too, because this guy was a crazy scorer in college. But you know, that's the differences between the college and the NBA, as you know, too. But you know, anyway, just a little note: we got to talk some NBA, kind of get that out there as well. Let's kind of jump to the most exciting part. We're going to talk some NFL stuff. And Jordan Gross is actually retiring from the NFL, from the Panthers. And this, I don't know if this was expected by the Panthers, but I think this is a really, really tough move. And it's going to affect the Panthers. So now they're probably going to have to readjust the draft strategy, Rob. What do you think about this?
Well, yeah, I mean Jordan Gross did tell the Panthers that he was considering retiring at the end of the season and that he would inform them before free agency and the draft what his decision was going to be. And so, obviously, he just informed the team that he is indeed going to retire. And I didn't think he would. I mean, he's still playing at a solid level. He's a 13-year vet. You know, went to the Pro Bowl a few times. And if you look at over the years, this Carolina team has had a strong running game over the years, and he's been a big part of that. And so obviously this is a player they're going to miss tremendously, and they're going to have to find a way to replace him, whether it be through free agency or the draft. And replacing the Jordan Gross is not going to be easy. And so if they can, you know, it's not going to be easy finding a player of that caliber to replace him.
Yeah, like I said, it's going to definitely change the draft strategy because I'm sure the Panthers, they weren't even, you know, thought that, hey, we're pretty much good as far as that position. Now, you know, you're going to have to readjust your draft strategy. But, you know, we're going to talk about the NFL draft. It's a pretty deep draft. We're going to talk about what positions are deep, all that good jazz, as mentioned. Let's talk about a very, very interesting subject. Hopefully we'll spend a little bit of time on this too because I know we want to jump into the mock draft and combine coverage as well. But, Clay Matthews recently came out, Rob, and said that it's tough to penalize on-the-field language. And the question that we're offering is he right? Because this is a pretty big decision, Rob, because this could actually affect baseball, hockey, all phases of the sports. And I guess this is one of the situations, you know, and I'm going to indirectly kind of point this to the direction of what's been happening with Richie Incognito and Jonathan Martin. I know the NFL is trying to clean up a lot of things. And I mean, are we taking away from the sanctity of the game? Are we really affecting the game a lot with this decision, Rob?
I don't think it's going to have that big of a factor on the, you know, deciding games and things of that nature. I actually like the rule, to be honest with you. I understand what Clay Matthews is saying. I mean, guys can say it and the refs still won't possibly hear it. But, you know, I think, you know, in the event that the ref does hear it, obviously that's a 15-yard penalty, and hopefully they'll put some stop, you know, for using the word. And so I actually like the rule, like, but I do understand where Clay Matthews is coming from, that, you know, some guys are still going to be able to get away with it because they may be able to say it when a ref is not around or something of that nature. So I certainly do understand that, but I think the league instituting this rule is still a positive thing, in my opinion.
And like you said, my thing is not necessarily the fact that they're trying to change the total, you know, game. I'm talking about, you know, it's interesting because we're talking about how, and this is one of those controversial subjects we can talk for a long time, Rob, because obviously, you know, your emotional game, you know, it's a different situation going, playing, and the NFL is different. Locker rooms are different from the corporate world. So, you know, you got to think that, you know, the Roger Goodell's trying to do some things to try to, you know, limit a lot of things that's been going on, maybe limit the things of happening with the Richie Incognito situation, because people may have been shocked as far as, oh, my gosh, that's been going down. And that may be like status quo. So maybe by trying to clean up certain things, maybe clean up the language, you're definitely going to affect the way that the locker rooms are going to be perceived by the public. And, I mean, like I said, I agree with you. I don't think it's going to change the game in that thing, but I think you're trying to, like, clean it up and make it look more presentable to the public eye. So that's kind of where I was going down in that particular option.
Absolutely. I think that's a very valid point.
I love it, man. We're going to keep moving. So anyway, I know we're not going to spend a lot of time because it seems like that's one of the situations, Rob. We've been beating that to a dead horse. I'm sure we're going to hear more about this coming up, and we're going to get, like, a lot of topics. And this is not a forum for us to jump on the soapbox just yet, but we'll keep moving. But I'm going to throw out the numbers once again. If anyone wants to comment, because I am so excited to talk about Combine Talk and the mock drafts too. But once again, if you want to call into the show, feel free to reach out to us, America. Once again, the number to call, it's 424-243-9519. And let's talk about the NFL Combine. Of course, we have to talk about this, Rob. This is going on currently right now. You know, we just wrapped up the defensive backs and whatnot. And we're going to talk about one of the most – there's always a controversial player, it seems like, in the draft, Rob. And I guess this year's controversial player is Jadeveon Clowney. And I guess – and it's interesting here in Atlanta because it's either you love him or you hate him. There's no in-between, Rob. It's a situation where, you know, some people think that, you know, he's going to be a bust because of the fact that, you know, his work ethic is questioned. You know, he's making bad decisions. You know, there are questions of motivation. But then he goes out and does an incredible job in the, you know, running the, you know, 4.5 40 at his size. And you're looking at this guy like, man, this guy is amazing. Then you're looking at the fact that, you know, some of the things, well, you know, I'm not going to do these drills. But, you know, we still have the pro day. So I know we kind of differ as far as, you know, if you should participate in certain drills and whatnot. But what do you think about Jadeveon, Rob? Did he do enough to become the number one player right now at this particular performance?
Well, you know, my first mock draft, I had him going number 5 overall to Oakland. But then my overall grades for the draft, I think he's my highest rated player on the draft board. I think he's the most physically gifted talent in the draft. And so, I mean, even though I have him going number 5 at the moment, I still think he's the highest-rated player in the draft. And I think Houston has got to make a tough decision here. Do you take the best player in the draft, or do you take the best quarterback in the draft? And so it's going to be really interesting what happens with Houston, you know, what they decide to do with their first draft pick. Because, like I said, I believe Jadeveon Clowney is the best player in the draft. But, you know, Houston is a team that needs a quarterback, And of course, you, in order to win, most of the time, 9 times out of 10, to be successful, you got to have a quarterback. So it's going to be interesting in the route that they go. Do you take the best player or do you take the best quarterback? Jadeveon Clowney is certainly deserving of that number one pick. There's no doubt about it.
So we're going to talk about this as well, too, because this is one of the subjects we can spend some time on, too, because I definitely want to get some feedback because, number one, this is a pretty, pretty deep draft. We already talked about the positions that are pretty deep, Rob. We talked about offensive tackle, deep position. Wide receiver, really, really good players. Maybe not as deep in running back, and I know we talked about that earlier as far as thoughts about that. Quarterback is a pretty deep draft, too. So if you're the Houston Texans, you do, like you said, you do have a lot of power with this pick because you can go a lot of different directions, Rob. But I guess the way I'm thinking is that if you're the Texans, you have a whole new regime coming in, and I am 100% sure that Matt Schaub is not coming back. That's not the train they're going to hook their wagon to. So either A, like you said, if you're Houston, do you say, all right, well, I'm going to grab Jadeveon Clowney with the number one pick. I'm going to come back around and get the next best quarterback. I mean, is that what you would do if you're the Houston? If you're in the draft room right now, if you're kind of picking for Houston and you're Bill O'Brien, what direction do you go to make the Houston Texans viable? Because they already got a pretty good defense already. And if you have a young quarterback, you're basically saying, all right, if I make that defense dominant, all I got to depend on my quarterback is to get that running game going. They already have a dynamic running back in Arian Foster, even though it's kind of hurt a little bit last year. But if you just have, you know, a dominant defense, just have somebody that's just enough to just make enough plays, lean upon Arian Foster, you can be just as good. So, but if you're Houston, Rob, what direction are you going if you are the GM of the Texans?
I'll tell you what, this is a tough call because, like I said, I do believe Clowney is the best player in the draft. But I think if you're Houston here, you're going to have to take the quarterback with the number one pick just because I don't believe there's a quarterback that will be at the top of the second round that will be worthy of that selection. And at best, I think there may be some quarterbacks that's worthy of a mid-second round pick to the latter part of the second round pick, but not at the top of the second round unless Houston's able to trade back. So if you're going into this draft with a desperate need for quarterback, then Houston has to take that one at the number one pick or trade down a little bit and still get that quarterback in the first round. I don't think there's a guy at the top of the second round that would be worthy of that selection. So you would have to take that guy with the number one pick.
Very interesting. We're talking mock draft right about now. We talked about this as a pretty deep draft. 256 players are going to get drafted. Right now at the Combine, Rob, there's about 350, if I'm not mistaken. So it looks like 100 players are not going to get drafted. Isn't that pretty amazing? As far as what's going on, and I think we identified the key positions here. This means that there's going to be some good players that are going to be drafted that are not going to get drafted and maybe signed as undrafted free agents, Rob.
Yeah, this is an absolutely deep draft at a ton of positions. And you mentioned out of the guys that are going to the Combine, there's about 100 guys that went to the Combine is not going to get drafted. And, you know, another thing you have to realize here, each team signs about 20 to 25 undrafted free agents. So you multiply that number times 32, and look how many players they go undrafted. It's unbelievable. And
wow.
You have to go back to the old days, and, you know, when they had 18, 19, 20 rounds here, but now the draft is only 7 rounds. Let's just say every team signs 20 undrafted free agents. That's 640 players that went without drafting.
Now, wow.
So there's more players that's going to be undrafted than, of course, drafted. And every team signs anywhere between 20 to 25 undrafted players. Now, I took a smaller number of 20, multiply that times 32. That's 640 players right there goes undrafted. And so you'll be surprised how many steals you're going to get out of that number. And it's undrafted. Yeah, this is a very strong draft class, very deep. There's a lot of talent at a lot of positions in this draft. Quarterback position is deep. The running back position is one that you will find a lot of undrafted running backs that are going to turn out to be studs. in this draft. I mean, teams have devalued the running back position. I think it's highly unlikely you'll see one go in the first round because more and more now teams are finding running backs at later rounds that are being successful. You know, you have to be an elite stud. I think the last running back that won the top five, if I'm not mistaken, was Trent Richardson, and he still hasn't lived up to that billing. And so that just goes to show you the value of a running back is, you know, decreasing because teams are just not going to want to spend a top five pick on a running back anymore.
Yeah, great points in that, too. I mean, I'm just going to piggyback on what you said as far as there's a lot of different positions that, you know, that are deep. I mean, wide receiver is an extremely deep position, and that means you're going to get a great player maybe a little later on. And like you said, you're going to get, like, a lot of value running backs. And, you know, they have the value of the running back position a little bit just because we're more of a passing league right now, too. I mean, don't get me wrong, you do have to run the ball. But, you know, running backs are kind of like a dime a dozen, too. But good stuff. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, I guess your thoughts as far as I know that Mr. Robbie always does a great job as far as putting together a mock draft. We did a good job as far as explaining the mock draft or going through it. You know, a couple weeks before. This is before the combine. Is your mock draft going to adjust because of the underwear Olympics, Rob? I mean, certain, you know, there's only certain things you want to watch on film, and it shouldn't change that much. But how much do you think it could change because of the combine right about now?
Well, I think they're going to be they're definitely, combine definitely, I mean, a lot of scouts don't like to admit it, but combine does play a huge role, huge factor to some of the players' draft grades. And I do think there's some players that help themselves with this combine. I do think there's some players that hurt themselves with this combine. So obviously I will be having a post-combine mock draft. There's going to be some changes. And, you know, every year I do about 3 to 4 mocks. You know, I'll do one before the combine, do one post-combine. I'll do another one after pro days, and then do one last one right before the draft. So there are a lot of factors that go into these individual private workouts for teams. Then you have pro days, you have combines, you have interviews, background research. There's just a lot of information that goes into these draft selections. And, you know, definitely, like I said, there are some players that in my second round, first mock draft, are going to want to be first rounders and vice versa, some first rounders that are going to drop as well. Getting back to the running back position, in my first mock draft, the first running back I had taken in the draft was Kadeem Carey, running back from Arizona, at the 46th position in Pittsburgh. And I had Carlos Hyde, running back from Ohio State, going 63 to Denver. And so I had no running backs going in the first round, only two in the second round in my first mock draft.
So real quick, Rob, you said there's some people that hurt themselves and helped themselves. Who do you think kind of hurt themselves in this particular mock draft, or combine, excuse me?
Well, I tell you a guy who I had as a second-round pick in my first mock draft, and that was Michael Sam, a defensive end, outside linebacker in Missouri. And I had him as a second-round pick on the Baltimore at the 48th position. And if you look at the way he played at the University of Missouri, he was a pass rusher. But the way he performed at the combine, he didn't show elite speed for a pass rusher. And he didn't show elite athleticism, jumping ability, any of that you would look for in the edge rusher. So now I think he's a guy that's probably going to fall to the middle pack of the draft, somewhere between the 4th to the 6th round is where I kind of foresee Michael Sam going at this moment. So he's a guy I would definitely say kind of hurt himself a little bit. Another guy, Rashid Hagman, defensive tackle, defensive end, Minnesota. I had him going in the latter part of the first round, number 24 to Cincinnati. I think some of his performances at the combine has hurt him a little bit as well. So I see him as a guy that's going to fall back a little bit too, possibly into the second round now.
Yeah, and I think you nailed it right on the head with a couple of players too. And, you know, and this is what I was going to ask you too, because I got questions about A.J. McCarron too, because – and the whole thing as far as if you should work out or compete in the combine, too, because I know we have differing opinions on this, too. But you know, sometimes you may realize that the team around you is more talented than you are, and sometimes you have opportunity to make plays. And that's the thing that I kind of get from Michael Sam, that the Missouri defense was pretty talented, which allowed him to make plays. And don't get me wrong, I think I sent you a good article kind of breaking down Michael Sam's game, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you're black, white, gay, straight, whatever. The film doesn't lie, and that's what you look at. You look at the film as far as if this guy's making plays, if he's on the field in certain moments of the game, little things of that nature. And that's the thing, too. Same thing with A.J. McCarron. I mean, you know, we've had different opinions. Some people say he's a good quarterback. Some people say he was helped out because he had superior talent around him. So, you know, that's why you got to look at the film. You got to look at the combine stuff. We knew that Michael Sam didn't really play that well in space. He's a pass rusher, but he looks like he's a situational pass rusher. Right? He didn't do everything overly well, but, you know, you can't judge the heart, obviously. But that's kind of what we're looking at as far as certain players. But what do you think about A.J. McCarron real quick? Do you think he's going to be he's helped out by having the talent around him at Alabama as well?
Well, I thought he was a solid game manager, man. I think this guy can definitely be a clipboard holder in the NFL. I think he can be a backup quarterback for some teams. I think he's smart. I think he's cerebral, but I don't think he has the physical tools to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, maybe in the pinch, but I think he will get drafted in the latter rounds or be an undrafted free agent, and he'll, like I said, still be able to help a team as a backup quarterback. That's what I kind of envision with A.J. McCarron.
That's pretty funny. You got me off, but I thought you were going to say something else. You're like, I could see him holding. I didn't expect you to say holding the clip, but that was pretty good. I like it, man. It's a lot of good things too as well. Is there anything else that you wanted to kind of talk about? Because I know we're getting ready to go into the OT portion of the show. We got about 3 minutes left in the show. I don't know if there's anything you want to kind of highlight before we get ready to dive into deep, deep mock draft talk. Before we get ready to wrap up this edition of Talking Sports for the 12th minute.
Well, I tell you what, who's going to be the first quarterback taken in the draft? That's definitely up for debate. There's some scouts now that are a little bit concerned about Teddy Bridgewater, the size of his hands. And there are a lot of scouts now that have definitely played Blake Bortles as the clear number one in his draft now as far as the quarterback position is concerned, where most of the offseason has been Teddy Bridgewater. And so that's the topic of discussion maybe we can get to here, start off the OT portion.
I like it. So, and that's another thing, too. I know we talk about the size of the hands. And, you know, Johnny Manziel, even though he's like only like 5'11", he had huge hands. And, you know, it looks like he's definitely moving up. And that's why we talk about Houston. Houston is definitely the wild card. Are they going to go Blake Bortles? Are they going to go Johnny Manziel? Are they going to go Jadeveon Clowney? Where are they going to go with that, too? So, anyway, we got officially 2 minutes, sir. I know I'm going to let you go ahead and do your thing as we get ready to wrap up and get ready to head to the OT portion of the show.
We certainly appreciate all of you all for tuning in and listening in to 12th Man, Talking Sports with the 12th Man. So definitely join us next week. We're going to be on a Monday night, 10 p.m. Central, 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific. We're going to be getting into more draft coverage. Should have my post-combine mock draft in by then for us to discuss. Let us know what your team is going to do. We would love to hear about it. Post it on our Facebook page. Tweet us. Or just call us in on next Monday night. You don't want to miss it. We're still talking more draft on our OT portion tonight. Unfortunately, we can't get that to you live. So make sure you click on the same link on tomorrow, and you can take a listen to what we have to say about the draft. Good night, people.
Good night, people. We appreciate you that you checking in. And like I said, be on the lookout. Always follow us. I know we may switch certain days, Monday and Tuesday, but we're here for you. So that's what we do. I know that I enjoy definitely talking sports, Sean. I'm sure Rob enjoys it as well, too. So any feedback that you have would be fantastic. A lot of love. I want to give a shout-out to Brian. Brian Kahn, appreciate you listening in, as well as our cousins, my cousin that's in Tokyo. He's a big Cleveland Brown fan, Rob, so we got to give him a little shout-out there, too, because I know Cleveland, that's a whole other conversation as well, too. But we'll talk about that. Our folks in Hawaii, don't forget to run that 40 time. And we'll talk about winners and losers, kind of who's been doing good in the combine. So anything else you want to say, Rob? We've got about 20 seconds as we get ready to wrap up the live portion of the show.
I'm telling you, you guys don't want to miss our OT portion. You don't want to miss next week's show. Make sure you tune in. Good night, people.
Good deal, good deal. All right, let's keep it moving here, Rob. As we get ready to transition into the OT portion of the show, I will play a song near the end next time, too. But this is interesting because we're talking about quarterbacks, and this is one of those subjects, and this – we know that the draft, Rob, it is not an exact science because no one really knows. I mean, you've got some people that are predicting, you know, either Clowney to be the once-in-a-generational type of player to, you know, he could be a bust. You got people like Greg Robinson. This guy is going to be an amazing candidate. He's going to be a Hall of Fame person. You got people saying that I've even heard some things about Mansell, that I've heard some things about, you know, Teddy Bridgewater. He's slight frame, I mean, you know, but he's the most NFL-ready of the two. So there's a lot of different things we're going to talk about. And I guess I'm going to ask you, is there a franchise quarterback in this particular draft? And for the people that are hating on Jadeveon Clowney, I do have to say this, you know, as a Falcon fan too, because if he falls, man, we're excited about that. I don't know. But for Jadeveon, this dude was constantly – being targeted. I mean, they knew where he was on the field. And to me, that means that this guy is impacting the game. You know, basically, you know, you can say whatever you say, but there's certain players like the Khalil Macks and the Anthony Barrs. I think they're talented players, but I don't necessarily think that they were being game planned against like Jadeveon. So, you know, that's just me, Rob, but I'm sure I want to get your thoughts about that. But also, is there a franchise quarterback in this draft? I want to get your thoughts about that, sir.
I think there's some good quarterbacks in this draft. I'm not sure if we have a John Elway, Joe Montana, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Drew Brees. Not sure.
Andrew Luck?
I think Andrew Luck is a franchise quarterback. So I definitely don't have a quarterback in this draft with an Andrew Luck draft grade from a few years ago. But
okay.
Do I think we have some good quarterbacks in this draft? And when I say good, I mean guys that you can compare to like a Ben Roethlisberger on that level, somewhere around their level.
Yep.
I think we have some good quarterbacks that could be starters in the NFL for 10 to 12 years. I think we have about three or four guys that I believe is going to be around that level. And I think Bridgewater's one, Bortles is another. I like Derek Carr a lot. And I also think Manziel could be that player as well. So I think you have four, you know, really solid NFL starting quarterbacks in this draft, no doubt about it.
It's interesting. You know, I want to highlight a couple of the LSU guys. We're talking about kind of under-radar guys. And Jeremy Hill, I'm going to talk about him, Rob, because he ran like a 4.6 40. And that was obviously not necessarily fast. Jadeveon Clowney even beat him. But what do you think about Jeremy Hill's prospects? Do you think – I know he's a running back. I'm kind of like throwing you a little loop here, but – and then I want to talk about wide receivers. There's a lot of wide receivers that I think are – this is going to be a great draft if you are in the market for wide receiver too. And I know we'll talk about Sammy Watkins and Odell Beckham as well as Mike Evans too. So what do you think about that?
Well, I'm going to tell you something about Jeremy Hill. This guy ran a 4.66 40. Definitely not a great time. But when you watch this guy on film, you didn't see nobody catching this guy from behind. He runs with power. He runs with explosion. He's got great vision. He runs north and south. This is one of these guys that you're going to see going to third or fourth round, and he's going to wind up being a steal for somebody in the NFL. I guarantee you that. This guy is a football player. And, I mean, like I said, you turn on that film, you don't see nobody catching this guy from behind. And, you know, I've seen a lot of football. He's got great power. He's got great explosion. He's got a great motor. And I think somebody's going to get a steal with Jeremy Hill. I really do believe that. And getting to the wide receiver position, I think Sammy Watkins, of course, is the number one prospect at that position.
Yep.
I think he's going to be an elite NFL player and really be a stud prospect. At the wide receiver position, I think Mike Evans, even my mock draft, I had him as a third wide receiver. I think he's going to move up and be the second wide receiver taken. You just can't ignore his size and speed. Marquise Lee is that guy, as the third guy, good deep threat. And I think Odell Beckham has got a chance to really be that number four receiver and pass up Kelvin Benjamin. Had a great combine, Odell Beckham. This guy's got great physical twos as well. And I think Kelvin Benjamin is going to be that fifth wide receiver taken. Another guy has got great size and speed. And so watch Jordan Matthews from Vanderbilt, too. He might even sneak into the first round. He had a great combine week as well. And another guy with some good athleticism, good speed, could be a return guy as well. So he's another guy to watch as well.
Yeah, I like Jordan Matthews too, man. That was he's a very impressive player too. Like I said, It's just we're not going to have enough with all the underclassmen, Rob. We're not going to have. There's going to be some great players that are going to fall. So this is probably one of the deeper draft, like we talked about. I know we're going to keep saying that we're going to beat that into the ground, but it does go without saying that you got a lot of good players to pick from. Obviously, your first wide receiver, Sammy Watkins. The jury is still out where he's going to be. Either he's going to go to the Rams at number two, according to your draft, or he can go, possibly go, Oakland. I mean, I don't know. It depends on where you're going to go. But like you said, deep, deep draft for that. Let's talk real quick. I do want to talk about some other options here. I know we're getting ready to wrap this up as far as the combine talk, too. Anyone that you think had a good combine that you're like, oh my gosh, that you kind of wowed you, if you will, or anyone that kind of overly disappointed you? And I do want to talk about – go ahead, finish up.
Well, I'll just kind of comment on a few players that I think helped themselves with the combine, and I think is going to move up in this draft. I think a guy like Brandon Cooks, another guy, wide receiver from Oregon State, he's another guy that could possibly – sneak into the first round. Now, this wide receiver position is so deep in this draft. You're going to find good value of wideouts in the third and fourth round of this draft. Yeah, mark my word on that. Teams are going to find some good deals with some wide receivers in the mid rounds. It's just a loaded position in this draft, as we've mentioned time and time again. I tell you, another guy who I think possibly sneak into the first round now is Trent Murphy, outside linebacker from Stanford. He ran about a 4.7 40, but he did so many other things well. He interviewed well. He did well in the combine. And I think he's a guy, teams playing a 3-4 defense, could step in and be that edge rusher. And I think he could be a really good football player at the next level. Kyle Van Noy, defensive end outside linebacker from BYU, is another one that could sneak in. Kelvin Pryor, free safety from Louisville, is another guy I think that helped himself tremendously. One guy I think definitely is in the first round now is Bradley Roby, cornerback from Ohio State. Tremendous combine, and I think really helped himself tremendously. Aaron Donald, defensive tackle from Pittsburgh, watch him as well. As possibly getting into the first round. Antonio Richardson, offensive tackle from Tennessee, will be another guy that you should watch as far as possibly sneaking in. So there's a lot of guys that I just named there that I initially had as second round grades could possibly sneak in to the first round.
Excellent analysis, Rob. We appreciate that. A lot of love to MP. Thank you, Marcy. She's texting. She's saying good show. So glad that she is listening as well, too. So, I was talking about I was listening to you whenever you were talking about, a lot of these players here. I know we were talking about we spent a lot of time with a lot of these position and skill players. And, I guess I want to ask you kind of your thoughts as far as I know we hear this all the time as far as if you should go, if you're a quarterback, if you should go and kind of execute and play in the drills. You kind of lean towards no. Like if you're not necessarily number one pick, but do you think that you're going to hurt yourself or you're going and you're throwing? I mean, if you're A.J. McCarron, wouldn't it help you to kind of throw and kind of maybe work on some things? Or do you think, hey, kind of say that for your pro day?
Well, I think it depends on where your draft grade is. I think if you were a top five, top ten player going into it, I think you should wait till your pro day. You have organized workouts there. Now, if you're a guy that's got to really improve your draft grade, and I think you want to show scouts what you're capable of doing, and you need to compete and need to work out at the combine. But I think certain players, based on where you currently are in the draft, I don't feel like it's certain drills you should probably wait and do them on your pro day. And that's just kind of the way I look at it. I'm sure that's the way agents look at it as well. And, you know, I think that's probably the best way to approach it.
I was just saying, I'm thinking if you have to have a love of competing, Rob, so I don't think it's doing any bad to get some type of pro coaching. Maybe they're going to tell you, hey, work on this or vice versa too. But that's just me. I mean, I know it's definitely one of those things we kind of go a little bit different on. And maybe it does depend on position where you are targeted. You know, you never know. That's what I always say. We got about 5 minutes left in the show. Hope you have been enjoying the OT portion if you get a chance to listen to us, if you're listening via archive, which is what we do. We're going to go ahead and wrap this up, Rob. Is there anything else you kind of want to go over as we get ready to set the stage for next week?
Oh, I'll just make one last point before we move on for next week. You know, I think the interesting thing about this draft here, and when you look at the top five, you look at top 10 players, there's some elite players in this draft. And I think teams that are drafting in the top 10 is going to have to make a tough decision. Do we take the quarterback or do we take another elite position player? And the reason why I'm saying that, these quarterbacks are good. But when you look at Sammy Watkins, when you look at Jadeveon Clowney, when you look at Jake Matthews, when you look at Greg Robinson, when you look at Anthony Barr, when you look at Khalil Mack, these are some players that could really be some elite players at their positions. And so I think a lot of teams are going to have the tough decision. Do we go with one of these elite players? Like I said, I think these quarterbacks are going to be good, but these other players that I think I just named, I think these guys have the opportunity to be elite players. So I think some teams are going to have a tough decision. Do we go with the quarterback because we need him, or do we go with an elite player? And that's what's going to be interesting to me about this top 10 picks of this draft.
You nailed it right on the head, sir, as always, man. So, you know, and no doubt there's going to be a lot of talent undrafted, which is going to be amazing. So you're going to earn your keep, Rob, if you're a scout with this one. So especially if you're trying to build depth. It's a very exciting time. That's why we love the NFL, obviously, because, you know, there's so many different things going on, combine stuff. It's just players getting bigger, faster, stronger. You said a lot of key names, the Khalil Mack, Anthony Barnes. We're hearing all these names, and that's just because of the power of social media, too. So we'll keep an eye as far as that scenario. And like I said, I'm excited. I cannot wait, Rob, for the post-combine as well as the post-pro day mock drafts. We do about five of them. And I know I'm going to say this like a lot of times, it's not an exact science, people. So I always like to keep my draft magazines and figure out who was a bust and who actually turned out to be a pretty good player. But 2 minutes, sir. I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up as we get ready to end this particular nice episode, sir.
Oh, to my fellow co-hosts, it's been great. And to our listeners, we certainly appreciate you all tuning in. Make sure, once again, join us on next Monday. We're going to be on Monday night next week to have a post-combine mock draft to discuss, along with, sure, some NFL and probably some pre-free agency talk here as well. So you definitely don't want to miss next Monday night show, 11 Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific. And for our good friends in Hawaii, aloha, it's going to be 5 p.m. Don't miss us on next Monday night. Good night, people.
To my co-host, as always, thank you, Rob, as well. Excellent job. Thank you for putting up with those for me and the mock drafts as well. We look forward to next week. Get some rest, people, and as always, we will talk to you soon. Good night, Rob.
Night.